It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions on Baxter. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting guru at UGASports.com, and, of course, Jim Donnan, former head coach at the University of Georgia, guy who I just gave him a picture of the presentation of the Governor's Cup.
Appreciate that. I really looked pretty good in that picture.
You did look good in that picture, Coach.
20 years ago,
you still look good. Unlike Jake. Anyway, I want to give a quick shout-out to all of our sponsors real quick. I want to say, of course, Champy's Fried Chicken for letting us come here and take over their place. We're going to get some Champy's food out here. Want to tell all of our friends and family and folks to swing by Champy's Fried Chicken on Baxter Street when you come in for G-Day this weekend. Swing by here. Also, go out to Academia or Your Pie. So if you need to eat, because it's a 4 o'clock kickoff, right? So you need to have lunch, and then after that you have to have dinner. So swing by Academia for lunch or Your Pie for lunch, and then come by here for dinner. So there's a lot of great places in Athens to eat when you come in for G-Day. Also, while you're in town, you've got plenty of time to swing by Athens Ford. So you want to swing by Athens Ford and pick up a new vehicle or even a pre-owned vehicle, that's the only place you'll be able to get one with a lifetime powertrain warranty. So swing by Your Pie or Academia or Champy's for food, but if you need a new vehicle, swing by Athens Ford. You will not be disappointed. Quick shout out to Cable East. Apparently, Robert Wall says hello. We say hello back to him. And 365 Game Day. So if you need gear for this Saturday and you want to get it, you can order it now. I guarantee you they can probably get it to you in time. Here we go. Let's see what we got here. Fried green tomatoes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Roll those down this way, sir. There we go. So we got some fried green tomatoes here from Champy's. Just put out on the table for you people listening. And the tender basket.
Yeah, we got a tender basket with some sweet heat, a little Champy's sauce, and some fries.
Nice.
You got to love that.
I want to real quick, before we get too far into the show, because we're going to talk a lot of spring practice, I want to let you know one thing about the Athens Ford. Right now, you can get $14,000 off of it. 2018 Ford F-150, $14,000 off. Now, I saw that it's an XLT 302 crew cab. I actually saw one of those yesterday in the Home Depot parking lot. I had truck envy yet again. That XLT is a beautiful vehicle. It had a huge Georgia license plate on it, you know, the big Power G, and then they had some stickers on the back. So somebody has gotten a good Athens Ford XLT from the Georgia folks out there. Again, they're big Georgia fans, big Georgia supporters. We got a couple of major Georgia donors and supporters here in Champy's. You know, Chad went down on the fried chicken, so we'll say hello to some of our subscribers and some of our
Yeah, I just want to mention John Parker, who's always been such a tremendous supporter of Georgia, but now lives over here and has a chance to be around the program even more. But shout out to John. What a tremendous job he does and has done, his family, obviously, over the years, and just glad to have him here. I didn't realize that he's smart. Man, I knew he's smart, but he's smart enough to come in Champions League, too. So appreciate him being here.
Well, you don't have all the success that he and his family have had if you're not bright, so shout out to them. Let's jump right into spring practice. This is the last week of Georgia spring practice. They have G-Day this weekend. Coach, I have to ask you, because, you know, I saw what happened in Missouri. Hardly anybody came out to their game, you know, and a lot of the media was kind of, I don't want to say taking shots at Missouri, but kind of pointing out that, you know, it's just a glorified scrimmage. It's a glorified practice, you know. What are you coming out to see? It has no bearing on how the season's going to go. And to that count, I get that. But at the same time, you know, 2 years ago when Georgia had 93,000 people show up, Jake wrote story after story after story about recruits who were just impressed. They were blown away. Now, that's not going to make any kid commit to Georgia, but it can't hurt. And they're trying to, you know, fill the stadium this Saturday. So is it if you could do it again, would you rather have, you know, just use that day as a regular scrimmage day and not feel like you have to put on a show for the fans? Or do you want to kind of have the pomp and circumstance and let the fans in and try to put on a show for the recruits?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. First of all, you want to see how your team reacts in a game-type situation. I mean, okay, you can go in Sanford Stadium and practice, but with not having the seats filled up, you want to see how the kids react and want them to have the opportunity to experience that for the first time. To have that many people backing you, and that's one of the real big pluses. And I think Kirby said that last week, that our fans had a lot to do with our success last year. You know, when you look at the road wins we had and the crowds we had out at the Rose Bowl and at Notre Dame, yes, and throughout the year. So I just think every team approaches it a little bit different. You know, in the case of Missouri, I mean, I don't know what their situation is there. I know the weather wasn't that great, but they're also coming off a 7-6 year compared to what yeah, we're coming off of. But I do feel like that, you know, with the new programs like Tennessee and Florida had over 50,000 there. It's just a situation. Everybody's kind of want to see what the new staff looks like, the new players. But in our case, we got a lot of new guys on defense and some 9 enrollees, 2 of which can't play because of injuries. But it's going to be interesting to see how they react to it. But I'm just going to say this, you know, the G is powerful. I say it all the time. And you just got to use that. I mean, this is the state university. It's the place where you hope that these kids grow up and want to come. And for some of these 9th and 10th graders, it'll probably be the first time they've ever been recruited like this. You know what I mean? Their first, yes, opportunity to go into a stadium. And those memories are everlasting. You know, if you can make an imprint on a guy, I know – both ways, you can make an imprint where, you know, he really feels good about it, or if you don't show him the love he needs, he can maybe hold that against you. So I know David Green went over to Auburn to a spring game and they didn't even know who he was, and then both his mom and dad played there. It was a situation they did know, but they didn't know he was there, you know. And so we took advantage of that and kept telling him that the whole time we were recruiting. But so I just think it's just a deal where you've got to my last thing about this is it's kind of a celebration for the players too, from the standpoint this has been arduous and physical and very tough spring practice, and it's a good chance to just go out there and have fun, because you play football down. It's a game, and you get a chance to play in a game atmosphere. And it's hard sometimes to do all the kicking you got to do because you don't have as much depth as you do in the fall. But I thought all our spring practice has been very, very much positive, the way our special teams have looked all spring. And I think the carryover from last year, our players see Kirby keeps talking to him about how these situations helped us win last year, and all these younger players see as an opportunity to get on the field. And so our special teams are markedly improved from the same time this year compared to last spring.
I've got to ask you, Coach, what can you really take away from a game like G-Day or a day like G-Day? I mean, is there anything long-term that this coaching staff can learn about these kids, or is it a situation where it's just another piece of the evaluation?
Well, it's certainly a piece of it, because you want to look at the other 14 practices. I mean, a guy can have a really bad day on Saturday but have a great spring prior to that. But, you know, overall, you just want to see how a guy reacts to the competition of going against somebody that's comparable to him on the other side of the line of scrimmage as a lineman or a defensive back against a receiver. But, you know, from a quarterback standpoint, how they handle the mechanics of the game, because you can have officials and clock and all that. But overall, I just think we know a lot more about your team after fall camp than you do after spring practice, because 27, 28, 29 practice opportunities, you can really mold it. Plus, you don't have – and obviously we're here to get education and all that, but you don't have to do anything but football there for 3 weeks. You know, I mean, you got the meeting time, the walkthroughs, everything, and you don't have the academic situation that the kids are really just And I will say this again, and I want to make it perfectly clear, because everybody's talking about some of these academic places that we're going against, but we got a premier academic institution here that our kids have to compete against 5-star people in the classroom. So our guys are having to spend a lot of time, with Ted White and our academic people, and they do a good job with it. But it's a premium on education here too. So there's a lot of time has to be put into that. So I think fall camp you can really bear down a little bit more as far as just focus on the football part.
They don't need an education. They're here to play football.
Well,
no, you're right. You're right.
That was 2 weeks ago. Kirby had the, we know about the Paul Oliver situation. He used to call it the PO, whatever it was, but now it's a Georgia Way. A lot of our kids were in here for that, to help them when they get out of school. And then we have next fall, Kirby has a situation over there in Atlanta where all the kids go over there and get put their resumes out and have a chance to interview with people and practice that. So it's a total deal here that I feel good about everything that they're doing on and off the field.
Well, and I will say, you mentioned the job fair, those opportunities, the Paul Oliver Network, things of that nature. When I talk to these kids, the recruits, who Georgia's hard after right now, the consistent message I'm getting is Kirby and the staff do not spend a lot of time talking about football. They mention it, but they want to talk more about what's your life going to look like after you leave our institution. And that's a big focus. A lot of kids really appreciate that approach. It's a very smart thing, obviously,
exactly.
To do.
Exactly. I mean, you got to do that because the parents want to know about it. What's going to happen if I get hurt? What's going to happen, with a tutoring situation? Everybody – the football speaks for itself now because it's out of the way now. The question mark, can Georgia win? That's out of the way. It's been proven. Can they recruit? That's out of the way. Now, can they stay on top and can they recruit like they continue to do? And, we're going to get this situation now. Everybody's going to say, hey, why you want to go there? You got too many players, I mean, they're going to get that hard for the next couple of years. And, yeah. Anybody that ever says that to me, I just say to look, that's an insult to you because, they're telling you that you can play for them, but you're not good enough to play for Georgia. Come on. I mean, we'll get a lot of players that'll be resentful of somebody talking to them like that.
Well, that's a good point. You flip it around on them where the kid's like, are they negative recruiting? They got a bunch of quarterbacks over there. Why do you want to go there? Well, you think I'm not good enough to play there?
Exactly.
But you want me to come play for you? Wait a minute, So that's I had not thought of that.
You got to use the challenge there. Yeah. And that's what Jake Fromm accepted the challenge. Justin Fields accepted it. And we're going to see right now. I don't know what looks like for 2019, but 2020, there's a lot of good players that are out there at quarterback too. But anyhow, getting back to Saturday and Sunday, you were over there in the rain. What did you see over there, Big Daddy?
Well, speaking of 2019 quarterbacks, tell us what we saw because, a lot of the guys we talked to, we had the Rivals camp this past Sunday, so invitation only. I had a lot of very talented players there. Had a little rain to dodge at the beginning and then some as the camp ended. But still got the camp in. And I know that you and I were watching a lot of the 2019 quarterbacks because it's just tough to find that – who's going to come in when you already have a pair of them?
Absolutely.
So,
We got three.
Well, I would take that four. Don't forget Sam Vaughn, too.
Sam's good, but
love that kid too. My point being is, you've got two quarterback guys. Two scholarship guys, and the press clippings about both are fantastic.
Sure.
You brought in a bunch of you brought in some outside linebackers, So, in other words, as Coach was talking about, everybody we were talking to saw the success Georgia had last year, and it comes up.
They
mention it. So, at this Rivals camp, we saw a lot of talented players. A lot of them got invited to the Rivals Challenge. Who did you think really kind of stood out to you?
Out of the quarterbacks or just in general?
No, just in general.
Just in general.
I'm just saying I paid a lot of attention to the quarterbacks because aside from defensive tackle, which is the most important – to me, for Georgia in this class, that's the academic question. It's not a huge need, but it's just I want to see which guy says, I don't care they have two five. Who's the next Justin Fields? Justin Fields took the Georgia scholarship offer with two five-star quarterbacks already on campus, both who had started an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And
all
he
right,
said,
let's
I'm ready to do it.
So we got that.
I couldn't find one. So give me the guys.
A couple of guys that caught my attention.
Not Justin Fields out there, I can tell you that.
Well, just that bravado, that confidence in himself.
Who would you think we would go after?
I thought a couple of guys that caught my attention were Amari Kite. Big offensive tackle that Georgia's hard after. They're the actually the only out-of-state option that he's really considering. It's down really to Georgia, Alabama, and Auburn. He's a tremendous body. Told me that Georgia would love to take three tackles in this class, ideally.
Really?
Yeah, maybe not even one interior guy. I think it looks like if they could get the right three, they'd go in that direction. Possibly two tackles and maybe one kind of swing guy. You know, there's some options on the table there.
Where's he from?
Amari is from Thompson High School. He actually plays under Coach Jake Gainis.
Jake Gainis is stomping around
right now. That's right.
Jake was there at practice 2 weeks ago. That was smart by Kirby getting him over.
Absolutely. And so Amari, I thought, did a great job. Jason Jones was another kid who really stuck out to me, primarily because of his size and the way he moves at that size. He's a really physical kid.
Where is he from?
He's from Calera, Alabama.
I'm just throwing this out. I know where they're from.
He's testing you.
He's from Calera. He's a 2020 kid making his decision July 4th, and Georgia in the lead right now. So that would be a huge pickup.
How big is he?
He's about 6'5", 305 maybe, something like that. He's a massive, massive kid.
He's about 320 in the rain.
Yeah, exactly.
Those guys were sodded.
You know, one thing I just got to point out here, the other day I was over in the training room talking to Ron Corson and congratulating Ron and his wife Eileen. Their son John was accepted to, who was a deep snapper for us, accepted to Georgia Medical College down here, and he won the academic award for a football team. Had a great – but anyhow, I was in there talking to him a little bit about that. And it just so happened that the offensive line had finished their meeting, was walking, as linemen would do, the easiest way to the next area. So they cut through the training room. And sincerely, without their pads on, you can get a little bit better look at them than you maybe would, you know, watching them practice. I mean, I was completely mesmerized looking at them. And I've been watching ball for a long time, you know, and first rattle out of the box, here comes Mr. Thighmaster. I mean, he'll coming through there, you know, and they had the jerseys on. They didn't have – I mean, you're talking about a complete mash. And I mean, that guy. And then comes Wills. All these guys, I mean, just humongous guys. And you're talking about the same thing with these linemen we're talking about. And you go back to 2 years ago when Kirby and Sam said, hey, we're going to get a lot bigger in the offensive line. And it's just incredible.
Opening press conference.
It's incredible the girth that these guys have. I mean, you can see them with pads on, and they look big. But, I mean, I was
– it's the number one – in my opinion, it's been the greatest change since the arrival of this staff. The way that they've made that line, the way they've reshaped that line from where it was when they arrived is night and
plus,
day.
Plus the five-star quarterback.
That's not bad either.
But I would say just – I'm amazed at the size of these guys that you're talking about, too. Just adds to that because now Sam can be really selective in the two or three, like you say, that he's going after. And we're turning down some guys. And, you know, I'm always asking you when I see somebody, are we recruiting this guy? And he's, well, you know, we looked at him. But that's what you like.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're going to get the cream of the crop. And for us to be in on those guys from Alabama like that – got a solo dictator up a little bit.
A lot of people are saying, too, you know, I mentioned the comments about Amari Kite and Jason Jones on the message board at UGASports.com, and people were saying, hey, as far as I'm concerned, that's the next thing I really want to see Kirby do. That's the next trick in the hat is to go into Alabama and pull a highly rated guy that the Crimson Tide really want. And I know a lot of people –
he's already done that. I mean, look at some of the guys that are playing here now. Linebacker, I mean – who would ever thought we would get that guy 2 years ago?
Oh, sure. Monty Rice?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we beat him on a couple guys this year that they really thought they had turned him around, you know, Quay, and just that's what you like to do. I'm sure you always like to beat your boss, ex-boss.
No, we don't need to have any of that. We don't need to have any beating of the boss here. No. You want to keep it in line.
Yeah.
All right, what about the defensive players up there?
Okay, so like I said, Jason Jones really impressed me. A guy that I think you absolutely have to get on your radar right now, 2020 defensive end outside linebacker, Zykevious Walker out of Schley County, down there in Ellaville, a kid who put together just perfectly, I think, for that outside position. Maybe plays with a hand in the ground. Could totally see that as well. A kid who also just a great personality. Seemed like a really sweet kid, and was tremendous, I thought. So make sure you get to know Zykevious. We've got a story coming on him at UGA.
And learn how to spell his name.
Yes, yeah, that's it's actually very phonetic.
I like the way you did that.
Let's see. I'm trying to think.
What about Webb?
Mark Webb?
Yeah.
Clay Webb.
Well, I mean, right. I said Webb.
No, I'll put this. I interviewed Clay Webb because I only did the one interview the entire time I was down there. These guys did like
working
17,
hard.
18, but I just palled around with Clay because he gave me a book, so he's a bright kid. And he mentioned.
Was it a coloring book?
Yeah. Ouch. That's cold-blooded, Coach. He's a bright guy. I mean, he reads all the time. And he said that his kind of top three schools, not an official top three, were Auburn, Alabama, and Clemson. And then I asked him, you know, well, what other schools are you kind of looking at? And he mentioned Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Florida. Never mentioned Georgia. Now, he did mention Georgia somewhere to Chad Simmons, but kind of – and excuse me, to Kelly Quinlan, but only in the context of – kids at school are telling him, hey, you need to go to Auburn, you need to go to Alabama, because, of course, he's from Alabama. So.
Now, I'm not going to call Clay Webb a liar, but there's not a lot of people in Oxford, Alabama, who are saying, you need to go to Georgia.
But there are a few telling him to go to Georgia. But think about it. If they think he's going to Alabama, they would rather him go to Georgia. You know, it's like, hey, if you're going to have to go to one of these schools, we'd rather you go here.
Absolutely.
Don't go to our arch enemy.
No, absolutely.
So, I don't know that it'll work for Clay, but again, Clay had an outstanding performance. I mean, that is a we saw it when he was a true freshman. We're like, this kid is going to be a monster, and he is. And he was out there in the rain with his shorts pulled up because he likes to wrestle, you know. So he's got his he bakes his shorts into the equivalent of a singlet, and he stands out there in a skinny T-shirt and that little curly hair of his. Throwing guys in the dirt.
It's like I've said. If you've seen Bad Santa, I've always said he looks a little bit like Thurman Merman. Yeah. Now he'll beat you up a lot quicker than Thurman Merman. And I wouldn't want him to catch me saying that about him. Yeah. But
you guys own a computer, didn't Javaris Johnson, who played tight end for us, isn't he from Oxford, Alabama?
Let's see.
I'll tell you while you're looking it up. I thought a guy that had a great day, Georgia commit Jalen Perry, defensive back.
Oh yeah.
We're watching that cat and mouse, you know, where you try to run past the guy. You got, 10 yards wide, and you got to run 20 yards, and you try to juke him out. He would fly up the field. Now, when he would break down, he'd stop moving his feet, so I know that Mel Tucker's going to get on to him about that. But no one got past him.
He
stripped the ball twice, and this is not a game where you're stripping. You're just trying to two-hand touch him. He did it and knocked the ball away twice and knocked one kid to the ground.
He's right at 6 foot, probably knocking on 6'1". He's getting close to that, and you know, probably in that 175. I do think so. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I saw him last season, had a chance to check him out in person at Winder Barrow. Actually, Tequila came over and played. Was blown away with him on both sides of the ball. They almost never went his direction defensively, and he caught about three touchdowns.
That's right, I remember
as well.
That, yeah.
So a kid with all the tools in his bag. I think that a Rivals 100 kid, very well deserved of that positioning, and I think somebody that could even see his stock climb further.
Did nothing to hurt himself.
Yeah, no, yeah. Not at all. And as you can imagine, I mean, a lot of people are staying involved on him. You know, Clemson's really liking him. It's a battle with them. South Carolina's still in on him. LSU likes what he's got to offer.
That's a kid you recruit till the end, you know. He's very committed to Georgia. Was wearing his Georgia gloves. Had nothing but good things to say about him. And to your point, we got interviews coming with him, and we still got maybe 15, 20 interviews coming. So be sure to stay tuned to UGASports.com. It's 27.
I got some real hot scoop coming, not from Rivals Camp.
Oh,
I got something last night that you're gonna like.
Where to tease us, man?
Yeah, a little 2019 quarterback news, actually.
Well, who were we just talking about?
Well,
there?
Yeah, we'll see. You got to come over and check that one out.
Before you get into the scoop, I want to bring something up real quick. Y'all see I'm knocking down this Academia beer here. This is the Dom Kolsch. Kolsch, for people that don't know, which was me until last Tuesday. A Kolsch is a German-style beer, very light. It's, you know, it's one of those things you could just sit there and drink this all day, but it has great flavor. I mean, this beer will get me in trouble. Light on the taste buds, you know, it's phenomenal. And you have the IQ IPA?
Yes, the IQ IPA, very hoppy, very Just delicious.
I mean, I went out there last Tuesday. I told you we were going to that beer dinner. And it was three different courses, four beer pours. And we started out with their appetizer was these incredible scallops on these toasted bits of bread. The scallops were phenomenal. I'm begging Matt and those folks out there and Chef Nate to put that as a regular menu item. It was phenomenal. It was the best scallops I've ever had. And also had their Hopperdite beer. And I got into trouble because I tweeted out that Hopperdite to me was better than Tropicalia. And I had a lot of people say that that's sacrilege. But I tell you, that Hopperdite beer is phenomenal. And again, it's just my opinion. And I've been known to be wrong once or twice. But go out there, try the Hopperdite. It's fantastic. And Chef Nate, and I always talk about their food. They had a duck confit. C-O-N-F-I-T. The duck
confit.
Confit. Oh, my God. It was unreal. Asked him how he got it to taste so good. He's like, well, I cooked it in its own fat for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. I mean, that'd make you slap your mama.
And one of the things that I really love about Academia, if you're in town for G-Day, definitely go check them out, because I think one of the coolest things that they do, it's something that I don't think any other brewery in town does. They've got Creature Comforts. They got Southern Brewing. They've got Terrapin Beers. They keep everything, all the local beers, make an appearance out there. They're not afraid. They want to be part of the scene
with
everybody else.
They do stuff with those all the time.
I love it.
One of the beers I had out there was confab, you know, where they were doing it together. So swing out there. Oh, that Noctua, if you like a darker beer, N-O-C-T-U-A, Noctua beer. The Chef Nate also made an ice cream out of it, Coach. He took this Noctua and cooked it down for 4 hours and then made an ice cream out of it. This is the best ice cream I've probably ever had. So,
quick question here from Santiago Diarn. He says, I live in Kansas City. Remember last week you guys said Q39 is the best barbecue. What should I get when I go? Brisket, burn-ins, sausage, in my opinion.
Just get one of everything.
He lives in Kansas City?
Yeah, yep. All right, totally pivoting off of this. I do want to get back to G-Day because I'm interested to know.
Did you find out that about where?
He's from Anniston, really just down the road.
All right, that's close.
Yep.
We got to get JJ on him. You know, JJ is a professional fisherman now on the side. Ooh. He goes to all these tournaments.
No kidding.
Jabars.
Zykevious Walker asked him what there was to do in Ellaville. He said, nothing, fish. So,
all right, let's go here. We got some good scam.
No,
here.
I do want to ask you guys, looking forward to G-Day, who's a guy that you think may end up making a big mark on Saturday? A guy
Stetson
who,
Bennett.
Stetson. You've been on the Stetson train for a long time.
I'm just saying everybody's going to see the real deal. I mean, he's going to get to play some, and he'll go out there and light it up.
Roddy?
Well, but I mean, that was just off the cuff. There's going to be some others I'm going to bring out, but I just want to make sure I didn't forget him.
I think we're ready for the Riley Ridley show.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah.
Remember last year was Jeremiah Holloman?
Sure.
I think Riley Ridley gets it this year.
I'm leaning toward the defensive backs. I think that getting to see Mark Webb work at that corner spot pretty heavily is going to be very telling.
Him versus Riley Ridley.
Yeah, that's going to be a –
they might be on the same team.
That'll be a fun battle. I think that, you know, seeing what they do in terms of the safety positions as well, how does a guy like Richard LeCount step up and get into that first team role? Who ends up playing star? I still don't think we have a very clear answer on that. So I think a good a good showing there would be pretty impressive. Ab Harding says, my guy's Kiaris Jackson. He said, I think Kiaris is going to have
Kiaris
a big
great
one.
In practice.
He'll do good.
Absolutely. I think he's going to be totally fine. Anybody else you got, Coach?
Well, I think we got to look at Cox and see how he does. I mean, he's getting some good reps out there. You don't know how much they're going to let him really. I'm sure they'll just two-hand touch the quarterback, but you know, when you get in passing situations in spring game like that, those guys are going to pin their ears back. And, you know, we're a little limited in our backfield, you know, with some of these guys not practicing as much. But, you just don't know how much they'll run the ball. I know last week they really put the emphasis on the run to work with our defensive front and all that, which is good because another reason why Kirby's a head coach, he knows what our team needs to do to be good. And if you're going to be any good in this league, you better be able to stop the run. You can talk about the spread, all that other stuff. But if you can't stop the run, you're going to have a hard time. And we've been pretty good at that. And I thought based on what he said, the scrimmage last week, they did a good job against the run.
Zach Wellborn says, maybe that Fields guy will do something.
Maybe. No, I think that's not really a surprise. Everyone expects Justin Fields to light it up, and he should. But –
A lot of it will be based on the teams, though.
Yeah.
I think Justin could benefit a lot like Jake did last year. That, you know, they went twos versus twos, one versus ones, and Jake went out there and lit the second team up, secondary. I mean, he did a terrific job.
And
we didn't have near the defensive backs last year that we have now. So the twos are a lot more adept at stopping a lot of this stuff that we do. But it'll be interesting to see if they go one versus two or two versus one. But we don't have a lot of depth on the defensive front yet. But
well, that's why I was going to bring up my guy. I expect to see Elijah Holyfield do really well.
Oh, I mean, he'll have 100 yards for sure.
They might have to pull him back a Harry little bit. Don't let him hurt anybody.
Yeah. They'll probably put Harry in on one team and Elijah on the other. And
then it's going to be after Holyfield's beating some people down, Prather Hudson's going to rip off one.
There you go.
Guarantee it. Guarantee. Keep an eye on him.
A lot of people are saying they're looking forward to seeing the defensive line and how that gels, who ends up kind of making a statement there. I definitely think that you're on to something with Brent Cox. I think he's definitely a guy to watch, you know, in the pass rush.
Well, we got Rochester and Clark and Ledbetter. Those guys are doing well. Just got to see if these other guys come up and make a move and how quickly what's Wyatt going to do? He's going to be out there with a lot of pressure on him, you know, having come in at spring. And these young freshman linemen, we've talked about Hill. I mean, it's no question his ability to play. But, you know, how's Erickson and Mays going to do out there in their opportunity? Because the thing about a spring game, Georgia's going to win. They play each other. But you got to feel the team to – one team's red and one's black, you know, and it makes it harder. Some teams used to – play offense versus defense and keep points like that, but I like the fact you play a regular game.
Several people saying Devontae Wyatt and Ab Harding, interesting here. He says, I'm eager to see what Chris Barnes does. Maybe he can make an impact on that defensive line. I know he's
not yet.
Not yet, but I it'd be cool to – it's going to be interesting to watch.
But I was – to Coach's point, I was thinking about this. He's talking about the guys walking through, you know, the offensive linemen just walking through the building and how impressive they are. And if you remember when we finally got to talk to Sam Pittman last year around the Rose Bowl, he talked about, yeah, we're a bully team. We play bully ball. You know, we bully guys around. And, you know, they should be able to do that. And I think when you get to the second team, if you have Warren Erickson snapping the ball to Justin Fields, to his right, you know, is Trey Hill. To his left is Notori Johnson. To the outside, you've got Cade Mays. You know, on the other side, you've got Kendall Baker going up against – Wyatt, Daquan Hawkins-Muckle, give me another.
Michael Carter.
Yeah, Michael Carter is on the defensive front. I think that second team offense pushes that second team defense around. And then if, you know, Brian Herrien's running behind that front, that could be a long day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So,
and that's not to take – I'm not taking a shot at the defensive guys, but as you pointed out, Georgia is a lot deeper on offensive line than they are defensive line, and that's why, you know, while I was looking at quarterbacks, you were over there this past Saturday checking out all these defensive tackles looking to see, hey, you know, hey, Derek McClendon, what are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think that it's going to be, you know, an interesting showcase that Pete Ellis says maybe the tight ends. I know people would be very relieved to see.
First question for Kirby.
Actually, I will say.
Do you think that chaps Kirby's butt when somebody says that? I mean, hey, I like to get.
His answers are getting shorter and shorter in that regard.
It's pretty cool though. Sometimes, you know, because it really doesn't bother him as much as it gets to the point though that it's. You got a guy like Nauta and Werner and these
Harris.
Other guys, but you got guys on the edge though. I mean, everybody's talking about what's Hardman going to do. What's you know, Terry going to do what you talked about, Ridley, and then we got Holloman and all these.
Tyler Simmons.
So the biggest deal is the way I always used to talk about when I really had a lot of people on offense, when I talked to our team, I'd say, man, when we go out to eat on Friday night, we're not just going to have our regular dinner here. We're going to have a buffet so you can slop the hogs, get anything you want. Go through the line, dessert, whatever you want to do first. That's the way it is when you got a lot of good players on offense. You got a buffet there. You got to pick out what you want to do, you know. It's like when I said on ESPN one time when Southern Cal was really good, you know, they had Leinart at quarterback and Reggie Bush and all these other guys and these receivers. I could just see them in the huddle. Leinart goes in there and said, okay, who wants the ball?
Right.
And that's the way it is with our offense right now. Hey, you know, you play Wheel of Fortune. I mean, who are you going to go with? Who are you going to give it to? But you can't stop yourself. That's what you got to do. You can't make turnovers. You can't make silly mistakes. And we were really good about that last year. We were a very disciplined offensive team.
Now, Coach, I got to ask you. I've had this,
is this
question.
A cue card?
I've had this. Yes, this is a cue card. I've had this question on the docket for some time now.
Let me get this. This is going to be
spring practice. Spring practice coming up or coming to an end here. This
can
is,
you blow
this
on
is
it
from
before
a,
I get
this is from
a local
listener, right. Is what we'll say. Any rumor that Coach Donnan played college tennis at NC State so that he could miss the spring practices run by Earl Edwards?
Did somebody ask you that?
That's what the card says.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. My coach hated tennis. He didn't like the fact that John Kenfield, my coach, wouldn't let scholarship players play. You know, they didn't have any scholarship tennis players, so he thought it was bad that I was on football scholarship and was playing tennis. So only way I could ever play in a tennis match on the day of practice was if I could play. We'd start the singles, and I'd play singles, but then I'd have to go practice football afterwards. I never got to play in the doubles when we had practice that day. And if we – on Saturdays, I had to miss the – we'd find out what time we were practicing, and we'd schedule a match around it. So if we played practice in the morning, then we'd have the match in the afternoon, and then vice versa. So it was not a very good situation there as far as the two coaches. But I enjoyed it. I didn't play just so I could miss practice. So that's
sure,
for sure.
You
but,
did, Coach, sure.
But I wasn't really a real fisticuff practice guy. Yeah. Anyway. I was avoid collision.
You were saving the body for later.
No, I mean, I avoided contact as much as I could. And I never will forget my senior year, and this is a good story. I went skiing with this friend of mine, and I actually had a small puncture in my eardrum when I fell down one time. So I came back, and they were checking me out, and they said, look, you can't have any contact for 2 weeks. I said, yes, sir. So I went out the first 2 weeks. I didn't even have a helmet on. It was awesome.
I know we got questions asked, but how the hell do you puncture eardrum skiing?
Well, when you're doing all that trick stuff and doing all the jumps and stuff,
okay,
you have some falls.
See, now,
when you see Donna throwing down, full, man, out there.
I knew there was a story there.
It was a full speed wipeout.
Coming on the Super G.
It was not that bad, but I wasn't that great a skier, but I
could, obviously
that,
not.
But I mean, I fell once every 2 or 3 years, and that was one of the times I fell. So, but seriously, where did you get that question, Bud?
That actually came to us via Dave McMahon.
Dave, good question, man. It was good.
Dave's been doing his research.
There's not
again.
Many guys that play tennis and football.
I was going to say, you think Kirby would give Meikle the pass to get out there and mix it up on the court?
He's always said that. You know, if a guy could help another sport, they could play. I know we had Larry Brown here who played basketball and actually helped them win in a big game out there in New Mexico in the playoffs. And it was I told Larry when he's out there, take some pictures of the weight room and bring it back here so we can show you how bad our weight room is compared to New Mexico's. And he did. He brought them back.
So we got a couple of questions rolling in here. Definitely want to hit on those. Ab Harding, a good one. Since we were talking about Chris Barnes, obviously he's made that transition over to the defensive line. Kirby said, you know, we've had him on the offensive line, so there's a learning curve. Ab says, how soon do you think a guy like Barnes can pick up that DT position?
Well, it's more difficult than you think. Because you're doing everything exactly opposite. You're trying to get off blocks and you're trying to react. It's not quite as assignment oriented as an offensive line, but we do run a myriad of different calls with our defense. So, you know, there's a lot of difference between lining up head up on a guy or lining up outside shoulder or inside shoulder and then slanting and taking the right proper steps and footwork. But what they want to see more than anything is just disengage from the lineman and get to the ball, you know. So I'm sure they'll keep it pretty simple with him, and hopefully he can do a good job of it.
Zach Wellborn says, who do you believe will be our left guard? I guess this is a two-part question in my mind because I'm thinking about Saturday at G-Day, but then I probably have a different answer when fall rolls around. I really think Jamari Sailor is going to end up being the guy when the fall rolls around. But as far as G-Day goes, who are you leaning toward? Kendall?
You're talking about two teams. you got two teams to go. But Kendall's back, and then you got Sal here, and you know, what are you going to do with Hill? I think the first thing that Sam will do, Coach Pittman, as an offensive line coach, particularly the way they mix and match around here, is he's going to get his first five out there athletically and then work around that, you know. So who that'll be, we'll know a lot more when Salyer gets here. I know I saw one of the good things about going over there once in a while is getting to see some of your old players. And the other day I saw Terrence Edwards, who was a really big part of our program when I was here and when Mark was here, and just loves Georgia. And he works at Pace Academy as a assistant volunteer coach, but he has his own receiver academy too, where he develops these guys. And he was here to watch Karras practice and everything. And
well, he coached two of Georgia's guys, Trey Blunt and Tyler Simmons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and he wanted to see Jackson, but he was talking about Blunt and Simmons. I can't even say stuff without you guys jumping. But my point was, I've already lost it about Terrence.
It was good to see you.
But what were we talking about on Terrence, though? I mean, just having him here at practice. But what were we talking about before you?
Well, we were talking about the left guard situation.
Oh, yeah. He was bringing out the fact that what a force that Salyer is. Watching him practice every day, he said he's got a really good line coach. He's got good technique. And he said, you know, I said, well, how does he compare to Hill? He said, Coach, he said, that's going to be a heck of a fight. Said both these guys just – so I like to hear it from my old players. You know, as one thing, I trust you guys, I know, but when I got a guy like Terrence Edwards telling me Salyer's – and he's been around here. You know, he's here to watch his brother play. Then he came in here and played. He's watched – so I would say, he said, if one guy's ready to play, and he mentioned that certainly Thomas did a good job last year, he said, but he thinks that Salyer's more advanced at this stage than any other guy. So we'll be in good situation there, but it's always good to hear that from one of your old players.
I would also trust Terrence Edwards' opinion more than ours.
I trust y'all's, but I mean, it's,
no, we've had Terrence, write for us.
Yeah, Terrence
we've had him break down.
He's great.
He's broken down receivers for us. He's broken down football players for us. I mean, the guy played forever. He was he held the SEC record for receptions for, 10 years? Yeah. I mean, the guy's he's still in the top three.
How about it when we started talking, and he said, Coach, he said, I just want to talk to you about one thing. He said, can you believe Dabo? And I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, Dabo's the head coach of Clemson. He's done a great job. He's over here trying to get me to go to Alabama. You know, he said he knew I was going to go to Georgia. He said he was working hard. He said, I never thought he'd be the coach of Clemson. I said, that just goes to show. And then we talked about Jesse Miller. What a player. Of all the guys that we ever had here that didn't pan out, that got behind the eight ball a little bit academically, but what a terrific athlete. What, you know, running back, linebacker, everything. But we had Jesse Miller and Terrence Edwards in the same class. I mean, come on. Just makes you feel good. But I would say this, and John Parker's over there a lot too, but Kirby bringing these guys back to practice, I think it's awesome. They feel good about coming around here, whether they played for him or not. You know, Trey Sipe, I saw him over there. Brandon Tolbert's moving here, you know, bringing his family. Thursday night we're having a Letterman's deal over there for all the Letterman. It's just great.
Awesome.
It's great.
And to go back to your point, you mentioned the Georgia Way now? Which was formerly the Paul Oliver Network.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's still you know, Paul Oliver based, but they just changed the name of it a little bit. And I want to come full circle on the fact that they had that jobs fair, which I thought was fantastic. When you look at these players, recruits are talking about where to go to school. And whenever I hear that they've got an offer from Stanford, an offer from Notre Dame, I know, and you know, people who are in the business know, if you take that offer, you're going to be set for life.
Yes.
Because they're going to take care of you when you leave. Now, all these schools say they do that, but it's not true.
Sure.
It's not true. You wind up, you know, and I'm not going to name schools specifically, but if you're a third string offensive tackle, you know, you never really get in, you don't do anything but play in their spring game. When you graduate, you're kind of on your own.
Yeah, you're forgotten.
You don't have that ability to work it into a media thing, you know, you're not going to get called to come speak to clubs and stuff like that. But when Georgia does things like this, when they have those Letterman days, when they have these job fairs, when they have this networking thing, they can look a kid in the eye and say, hey, here are our concrete examples of guys who left Georgia. They're coaching here. They're in sales here. They started this business. And, you know, here are all our big donors.
Yeah, and those
you know,
people,
who
those
might have an opportunity for you. If you take care of them, that gets around. Because whenever you have one kid who winds up going to Georgia or Tennessee or South Carolina or Florida and isn't taking care – they don't take care of him, he knows a lot of top kids. And yeah, he'll tell them so. So I think it's imperative that Georgia does stuff like this. Right. I'm glad to hear they're doing this Thursday.
I can't tell you how many people that played here for me or for anybody that you meet out in public now that used to play for you or were here that you were around and everything, and that maybe weren't players but, you know, starters but were on the team. But it's nothing like it. I mean, yeah. to know that you were part of the program, whether it's some of my best memories are going out and seeing a trainer that used to be here, Clint Haggard is the trainer down at South Carolina now. He was a student trainer here, you know. A manager I spoke down at Florida State 2 years ago, and one of the managers that was here in 1996 came over and said hello to me. That's, I mean, awesome. All that stuff's great, but I just feel like that's something we got to work on. And one of the things kind of burned my saddle, I want you to figure out for me. I just saw where they were, you know, celebrating Coach Shaw being the Bobby Dodd winner last year. He's certainly a great coach, and he got a tremendous legacy, what he's done out there since he replaced Harbaugh. But I think they were 8-4 last year. Has any Georgia coach ever won the Bobby Dodd Award for the Coach of the Year? If Kirby Smart wasn't the Coach of the Year last year, I don't know what we got to talk about. But, I mean, he won the Maxwell Award. He won these other, you know, won the Sporting News Coach of the Year. But
You come off 7-5 and play for the national title in some number one class.
Did Coach Dooley ever win the Bobby Dodd Award?
76. Dave but on it.
He did? Well, that's one thing. Maybe he'll. But you can't blame Tech, though. They're not going to give it something to Georgia guy. But but Bill Curry's involved with it. I like Bill. He's a good guy and does a great job speaking out. He's doing a lot on the speaking tour. I'm all for Kirby winning the Bobby Dodd Award pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think he got.
I don't think that's on his bucket list, though. Do you?
I don't think that he's too concerned.
Now, there was a, if I'm not mistaken, in his contract there was like a $50,000 or some sort of bonus for winning a Coach of the Year award. So I'm pretty sure that the Sporting News or whichever one counts for it.
Well, he got the Maxwell Award. That's unbelievable.
And then that should count because when you go from 7-5 in your first year to playing for the national, excuse me, 8-5, to winning the national title in your, not winning, but playing for the national title, going to overtime against Alabama, that is a hell of a coaching job, you know. And again, if year three, you can kind of expect it. He did it in year two. And if that's not Coach of the Year material, then I don't know what is.
Plus coaching the coaches, too. I mean, all the things he's done at facilities. Of course, we've had really good support from Dr. Moorhead and McGarity and all the people. But
yeah, in that first year, they were busing their players across town to practice.
But we got a lot of harmony there because those guys got to spend time on the bus with each other.
Leave their iPad on there for the media to go through.
Don't.
All right, but hey, we got any more questions here?
Yeah, we've got a few rolling in.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to tell you I've been hammering these fried green tomatoes down here.
Are they good?
They're phenomenal.
So is any left?
No.
As many fries as you left us.
There are left.
I got just one little.
And while you do that, I want to another quick shout out to Athens Ford because I want folks to know that you can get that 2018 Ford Explorer for $8,000 off.
Wow.
You can lease one for $399 a month. Payment plus tax and fees, $399 down, 10,500 miles a year. So you can actually grab that 2018 Ford Explorer XLT model for $8,000 off.
How about you hook us up with a new UGA Sports vehicle?
Well, you know, they got that.
And then let me take it.
Yeah. They got the Focus and the Fusion.
You got to get some kind of –
They're both under $20,000.
Got to get some kind of ride to go down to LSU, man.
Well, I'm thinking that Ford Explorer or the Escape. The Escape is down to $18,345.
How many y'all take on the road?
As many as we can get credentialed.
Yep.
It's usually three or four.
It's all based on how many they'll give you.
How many credentials. Because I got more staffers than I can get credentials. If they'd give us eight, we'd stick eight
we'd
people.
We'd find another eight dudes. Yeah. I promise you that.
We'd bring Jay Parker with us, but he gets better seats than we do.
A lot of people chiming in here. One of the hot topics in the recruiting world right now, Owen Papo, scored the highest score in the history of the opening this weekend ever.
What? Really?
Yes, the top ever. No one's ever put up a score as high as he did.
I saw Kenyatta Watson had
He had an incredible score.
Watson, see where he's changed his signing date to May 1st now.
Yeah, that's what it's you know. So it, there's definitely some movement on the Papo front. Yeah, here you go. 147.12. He had a 4.47 40. 40-inch vert, was able to 4 seconds in the agility drill and 45 feet on the power ball. Those are freaky numbers. Those are, I mean, I talked about what a freak Nolan Smith was with his numbers. I think he was about five less than this. So, you know, it's 4.47 speed.
You see anything in the 140 in a spark rating?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question now. That's on the flip side of this. That it's kind of what the answer is about Papo to Georgia. Okay.
Okay.
What was one of James Brown's greatest hits?
I feel good.
I feel good. That's it, Papo. Don't you?
I
come on, Auburn throwing out this smoke here about these other guys. What is this?
Well, he also sang the big payback too. So I'm nervous.
You should be. I think that it's. I think that this is a kid. I've said this week in and week out. This is not your normal kid when it comes to the recruitment game. This is a kid who has been recruited since he was going into eighth grade. He's been around this business now for 4 to 5 years. He's media savvy. He's done all the interviews. He's talked to everybody. He was the first kid to ever be invited as a freshman to the opening. He's going to be the first guy to go all 4 years of high school, obviously, after that, after putting that up. But he is a hard read. He really is. I think he's a very difficult kid to read. He's not somebody who wears it on his shoulder. He's had a chance to watch guys go through the process, and so he knows his way around it. I don't have a solid read on him.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. From the Georgia people I talk to, as Coach says, they feel good about it.
Sure.
They're very confident in Owen Papo. They have for some time. What makes me nervous is when I talk to Auburn people, not Auburn media, not – people who have spoken to Auburn people, not people who have spoken to Papo, because you're right, Coach. There is always, you know, when you have an announcement coming up and everyone thinks they know where you're going, there's not a kid out there who hasn't put out a little bit of smoke or started retweeting fans from other schools just to try to make it a little murkier, try to build the drama for it. And Owen could do it. He could do it easily. He knows exactly what buttons to push to drive people crazy. He's watched it for 4 years. But what I'm hearing from Auburn people, that they think they're getting it.
You talking about the bag men?
At Dye's cabin.
No, I'm not allowed to talk about them.
I mean, you said they're not the.
No, they're
man,
not.
Who are these people?
People who know Auburn very well. Just like I talk to people about Georgia who know the ins and outs of the program and, you know, what their chances are. Like, we have a poster at UGA Sports who, his name's Bulldog Bob. When Bulldog Bob speaks, everybody listens. I mean, there are people.
Even
with,
us.
There are absolutely there are people within the.
What's
athletic,
Bulldog Bob say about?
Bulldog Bob is very bullish on Georgia's chances of getting Owen Papo. So again, I don't want to go against Bulldog Bob because the guy's always right. And again, we have people inside the Bud
Spear
building.
Go against me on this.
I'm not going against you, Coach. I'm just saying I. It doesn't feel like the standard.
It's not a slam.
Smoke.
It's not the slam dunk that it was months back. You know, there was a time where it seemed like Georgia, I think, was far and above the school, the pick.
We may have had a story in the admin.
But now it's. I do think the currents have shifted a bit.
It's only another week now from when April the 30th is on. Monday, what's it on, a Tuesday, May 1st?
Something like that, yeah. He's
Can you go to this one now?
I can go now, yes, absolutely.
Are you going to be there, Grayson?
Yeah, I'll go. I'll be there. He says,
I'll tell you how I know. We had a JV tennis match when we played the Grayson JVs, and I asked three different people on their tennis team, and they all said he was coming here.
There you go.
I mean, come on, that's behind the scenes. That's better than a bag man.
Dylan Brooks makes a very prescient point, and it's something that I think a lot of people have to keep in mind. I always remind people of this. He says, King Kirby will sign him in the end. I do think that there's that possibility always exists that a guy.
I should have qualified my remarks to that.
Look at all the linebackers Kirby Smart signed when he was at Alabama, and look at our tradition here now. The way Roquan just won the Buckus, and we'll see what happens. Yeah. But let's go to something else.
I'm gonna stick on that real quick because Chad Simmons. You remember he was on his way to Brenton Cox's house. Actually went down there and filmed something about the kid committing to Georgia.
Yes.
And Brenton was torn. He wound up committing to Ohio State, stuck with Ohio State for months, and then wound up at Georgia. Chad Simmons says, hey, there's a good possibility that Owen Papo picks Auburn, but could definitely sign with Georgia. So whatever happens May 1st, it's not over.
It's never over till the ink is dry every time, period. Exactly.
Good thing about it now, though, they can sign in December. So
that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Let's get some rapid fire here.
A lot of questions. Ab Harding says, why isn't Kenyatta Watson Jr. interested in Georgia? I don't think it's necessarily a case. I think that there's a kind of a mutual there. I think that it's a situation. And he's also looking at Texas and Notre Dame. Those are his two top options. Never really seemed like a guy who was going to stay in state.
He's
committed to FSU at
one
time.
Do we offer him?
He does have an offer from Georgia, but it's always seemed like his interest was elsewhere. I think that that's not too surprising. Let's see. We've got Chris Little says, is Swift out for G-Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, hey, the whole spring he's had a situation there that kept him from being full speed, and I think they're just being real careful about it. I think Roddy probably – knows a little bit more about it than he's saying, and I do too. But I think it's just a case of they're doing a good job of making sure he can do what he can do and be ready. But it's not a lot he's got to prove right now. No. Anytime you're dealing with a leg like with White and with this guy, you've got to be careful because you don't want him to take – one of the things that always bothered me, I had James Wilder, great back at Missouri, and he pulled his hamstring, and we just kept putting him out there too early, and he just kept – had a hard time getting ready. But, you know, like I told James after, I said, look, there comes to be a point where, man, you don't have to go out there. I mean, we don't need you. I mean, let's go when the band's playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, there's no reason to risk a guy like DeAndre Swift for a spring game. You want him to be as healthy as possible always. Don't re-aggravate something.
To your point, if you have something that's nagging like that,
sure,
you can take something that's a minor issue and make it a major one with one – coming back one day too early.
So. Absolutely.
I was just picking Jonathan Rumpf and his hamstring. That guy kept trying to come back early, and he kept aggravating the hell out of the hamstring. And, you know,
tough deal, those legs.
I felt bad for him because that's a guy who could absolutely play. He just couldn't be healthy.
Correct.
And if you've never had a hamstring injury, and not saying that Swift does, but just as a point, you know, you think, oh, just stretch it. That's not what happens.
Well, I sure hope Hill never gets a hamstring.
That's a whole ham, brother.
The hamstring is what put Sage Harden out of football because his hamstring, you know, is attached to the muscle in his pelvis. And when he tore his, it wasn't just the hamstring itself tearing. The hamstring pulled out a chunk of bone.
Wow.
You know, so it's not like you fix it here. I mean, how do you jab that back in? So he had to hang up his cleats. That's why I
rubber cement.
Yeah. So, again, for someone like, you know, as good as Zamir White looks, you know, and he's so far ahead of schedule – you can't rush him back, even though he's aching to. And you got a kid like Swift who's, you know, he's going to Corson going, I'm good. Let me go. And I can't imagine how many times Corson, who knows that Georgia needs these players, has had to say, no, son, I'm not clearing you. Even
though
they're begging
to.
So
I tell you what we're going to do on rapid fire right now in a New York minute, okay? We're going to handicap the East Division for next year. I like Georgia to go back and do what they did last year. I think Georgia's going to have a little problem on defense, but it's going to get better in their kicking games. Got to count a lot on this punter. I think the next team that scares me a little bit is South Carolina because I think they're recruiting pretty well, and we got to play over there. But still, I don't see them being as big a threat as maybe some people do. Florida's going to be improved. Defensively, they're going to have to get a little bit better on the back end for sure. Tennessee's going to be improved, but they got to find some way. This new quarterback might help them. Vanderbilt still going to struggle, got a new defense and situation. Missouri, got locked back. I think they'll be okay, but their defense still is going to be an issue. And who else have we got?
Kentucky.
I think they really signed some really good interior guys that can do a great job getting rebounds, and some guys are pretty good shooting threes.
Oh, football.
Oh, we set us up for that, didn't we?
Yeah.
He didn't mention Kentucky.
Oh, man.
Oh, you stink.
That's the way I got it.
That was good. I agree with you. I think South Carolina's the team to watch in the East outside of Georgia. I think that they've got some continuity. They've signed some good players. They've brought in some good JUCO guys, really built up their ranks there.
They're going against the Chanticleers in the first game,
there
too.
There you go, yeah.
They got some dogs. Two types of roosters going against each other.
All right, that's all the time we have for this week. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon. We will have a G-Day recap for you. We'll talk, and we also have a lot of recruiting because a lot of kids are coming. Go to UGASports.com. We have a list of guys that are coming for G-Day.
I think one thing I really like, I don't know about the fans.
Sucked on that beard, didn't
it? But when you do that log of all the different pictures and put it on there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely have a photo gallery coming.
Roddy started out as a photographer, and he keeps trying to do it, and he does a good job. But I like those pictures because pictures worth 1,000 words when you see those guys and look at the hoof on them. It makes my mouth water.
We've got G-Day this weekend, and additionally on Sunday I'll be up in Charlotte for Rivals Camp Charlotte. So
where
a lot
they
more talent.
That?
That's going to be just outside of the city. I forget. I'll have to look up the school
Check
name.
Check out Max Johnson's coming up there.
I'll definitely be watching Max Johnson.
Shout out to Champions for letting us come in here and eat. Swing by, pick up their lunch specials. They have the chicken melt, the catfish press.
And the patty melt.
Which are both delicious.
Shout
out to 11 Alive for letting us be on their page. Please share this podcast and like their page. Big shout out to Athens Ford. Thanks so much for putting up with us. You know, a few weeks ago when we came out there and drooled all over your vehicles. I love it. Swing by Your Pie. I know I mentioned them for G-Day. If you are bringing a large group of people, go by Your Pie. Get the sandwiches. Get their pizza. Everybody can get exactly what they want. And do not miss out on dessert out there. I'm just saying, the fat guy, don't miss out on the dessert. Their gelato is heavenly. Big shout out to Cable East and Robert Wall and 365 Game Day. If you need your gear for this Saturday, order it from 365 Game Day today. That way you can have your new Georgia polo, hat, shorts, whatever. You have any idea what the weather's supposed to be like this week?
71.
Beautiful.
There you go. Get your new Georgia gear. Wear it on a pretty day.
Get out to academia, too.
Yeah, swing
I knew
back.
You were going to ask that, so I checked it this morning.
There you go. And, of course, like I said, when you're in town in time, swing by academia. You will not be disappointed. Try Champions for lunch, academia for dinner, or vice versa. You will be set. Actually, you should go to academia for dinner so you can have a couple of beers.
There you go.
But don't drive home after you had too many. Anyway, thanks very much. We'll see you next week.
You can stay at Roddy's.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
All right.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.